Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Angels on Weekend Chat with Junior Espresso Casper. Today's intro music was composed by our dear guest, Camille. He's also a very talented composer and jazz guitarist. So we will hear more about that later on during our show. Camille is a general artist and he was artist in residence with Bright Moments in March. And we invited Camille to talk about his latest project, In Tricolor, which was dropped as in real-life event last month. And before we start, here's the usual intro of the Angel Swing by Casper first.
All right. We are the Angel Swing, an international NFT art gallery and podcast show founded by friends around the world. Espresso and Johannes, they're from Europe. Yun's from the US. Rebel and myself, we're from Asia. We are all driven by a common passion to showcase independent artists and their art and helping them stand out from the crowded NFT market that's dominated by PFP projects. We showcase the art in on-cyber virtual galleries as a larger collection of art naturally brings a cross-pollination of viewership, and that has helped quite a few of our artists reach collectors through sales. We have organically grown since into a community of artists and collectors, but most importantly, friends. With regular Twitter spaces like these, which are then recorded into podcast formats in Spotify and YouTube. The easiest way to get in touch with us would be to join our cozy Discord. Everything's on our link in our bio. So hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or if you just want to join a friendly art NFT community. Last but not least, we'd like to mention that nothing on this show should be construed as investment advice. This podcast is for informational purposes only. And with that being said, back to you, Yun.
Thank you for the introduction. Welcome, Camille. We're excited to have you with us. And you actually appeared briefly last year on our very first episode about generative art. So yeah, welcome back. How are you today?
Hello. I'm very pleased to be there. Thank you very much for the invitation. I love your podcast. I was listening to the previous one just before with Matt Perkins. I love his work. And yeah, they're very interesting. So very happy to be there.
Awesome. So before we dive into generative art, I thought we'll talk a bit about your background because I think it's really interesting. You studied computer science and you have been an entrepreneur since 2012, if I remember correctly. And you're the founder of a company called Human Coders. So we'd love to hear everything about your professional background first.
Yeah, I can talk about that. You seem to know a lot of things about me. You did a good job. Yes, I'm a computer science engineer for a long time now. So I've been a developer, then a CTO in some startup in France. I'm living in France in the south. And 11 years ago, I founded a company named Human Colors. It's a company doing training for developers. The idea was to found a company in the opposite direction as a startup. We started at the beginning, like it's a marathon and not a sprint. So we are not going to work the weekend or the evening, take our time, do the thing well, and focus on our freedom and make our customer happy. And yeah, it was 11 years ago and the company is still there. So that for the entrepreneurship aspect, I can talk maybe generative art.
Yeah, it's really impressive. So are you still running the company and doing generative art kind of full time?
Yeah, it's probably thanks to the fact we focus on freedom, founded this company that make me able to focus on generative arts now and still have a company in good health. And it's a very important philosophy for us and everybody working with, are able to do the same thing. So we like people doing a lot of things, have read profiles, have hobbies, and mix all of them and be free to do that when they want and where they want. So yeah, thanks to that, I can do generative art full time for more than a year, and that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. This is amazing. So love this concept of integrating kind of your passion or into your professional life. Yeah, it's really great. I think you're very keen about diving into general art right away, but I would really love to also know more about your passion for music. And if I got this right, you actually started creating music way before you discovered art, and also found this really, really great tracks of you playing electrical or jazz music on a guitar. How long have you been already making music?
I learned playing music when I was a child after I stopped and came back to that with electric guitar 6-7 years ago. And I focused on jamming and improvisation. It was very interesting. Quickly, there was an accident when I was playing with friends in a room with a very big speaker. So there was a problem with the speaker and I heard a very strong Larson. It's a very loud sound. And so I needed to stop playing music for a moment, but I wanted to go back to that. So I went to electronic music. So it's very easy for me to control the sound and never have a loud sound. So that's why I focus on electronic music after. It was very fun to play with synthesizer. And finally, there are a lot of common points between electronic music and what I'm doing in generative arts, because sometimes what I'm doing with the synthesizer is quite similar to what I'm doing with art today.
Yeah, first of all, I'm very sorry this happened to you, that your hearing was a bit affected during this event and you have stopped playing guitar for a while. And I think it's really interesting what you mentioned about the similarity between generative art and electronic music. And I noticed there are actually a bunch of generative artists who are also into composing electronic music. So it's really interesting. Especially, how about you taking over the generative part?
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Hi, Camille. So happy to have you back. So I wanted to focus on the various projects you've done in GenArt and leading up to the latest one with Intricata, because you were very early on FXH, right? Project 85 in December, was it? Right after it launched?
Yeah, it was very early and very fun to start almost at the same time as FXH.
So how did you find it? And did you do any generative art before FXH?
Yes, at the beginning, at the very first time, I wanted to learn to draw. So I asked a friend who is artist, could you teach me to draw with a pen and a paper? And we started like that. Yeah, quickly, I saw that it's not for me. I have to learn absolutely everything. So it wasn't easy and not very fun. So I asked her to migrate to Pencil and Procreate, because it would help me to do perfect shape more easily. It was better, but not exactly something for me yet. So I tried vector graphic. It was better because it was easy to do some geometry with that. And I was more comfortable. And because I have computer science and mathematics background, my background helped me to do geometry. Just after, I wanted to draw like 1,000 shapes, and it can be very boring with vector graphic software. So I check how to draw that by code. That's how I discovered generative art. So I started with P5. Have fun with that. I started to follow some artists on Instagram, and I saw a lot of links to Foundation or Ikiknu. This moment, I have no idea of what it is. It was at the end of the summer 21. Yeah, Ikiknook is not very user-friendly, so I went on it sometime, and I have no idea of what it is. Yeah, quite weird. So I passed and came back multiple times later. But it was very interesting because all the artists I like was on that. So I wanted to dig. I went to the Ikiknook Discord. I understood what it is. I discovered etc. and meets my first piece, and it was a big surprise, but some people mint it, and it was absolutely not expected. It was the beginning of a long journey, so I started again to publish some loop on Ikiknu. I think it was in November, some collectors started to tell me, Kenny, you should look at it. It's exactly what you want to do. Look at it. I went to FXH and it was at the very beginning. Yeah, same thing. It wasn't easy for me to understand what it is and how it works. I didn't know what's artblock and what's long form at this time. So it took me some days to dig it. Yeah, it was fun. So I started to work on my first FXH project, C. And this project is 85 project of FXH. I was very productive with this the following week. So I released some projects, and it was very fun because each week was different than the previous. Each feature changed everything. Yeah, it was amazing to start at the very beginning of FixHash and see everything evolve.
That's nice. And you mentioned Instagram. So how important was Instagram in that period, like to discover art and artists?
Currently, I use Instagram less. But yeah, it was my entry point at the beginning because I didn't know where to check. So yeah, it's where I checked the first time for generative art. And yeah, so a lot of artists are on Instagram. So it was easy for me to discover some main artists. And yeah, it's where I started.
That's great. And as you mentioned, a very productive early period on FXHash. So by now you've released 14 projects by my count. And it's really, the frequency has slowed down a bit. Is that something you've done deliberately, or is this some consequence of order changes you've made?
It was voluntary to slow down, but I did not expect to slow down as much as I did. So I have to explain. I started with absolutely no strategy and no idea of what it would become because, as I said, I was surprised to sell. I had no idea of what FixHash would become, of what I would do. Also, the beginning was just experimenting and see what will happen. But at the moment, I wanted to maybe improve the complexity of my projects and work on bigger projects, maybe to have in mind to go on more curated platform. So it's what I tried, and I discovered it's a very long journey to, at least at this moment, it's maybe different now, but at this moment it was very long to chat with curated platform, and I didn't expect that. I thought platform will help me, but in fact they just say if they want to see your project or not, and that's it most of the time. So yeah, I discovered all this world. Yeah, it took me a lot of time because I wanted to ask platform one after another one, and some of them can take like months to answer. So yeah, your project can take 6 months very easily to be dropped on the platform if you do that. So that's why for Radio Art took me a long time to release, and same thing for EntryCadal. But it was a market aspect, but I wanted to slow down to do more complex thing, to add color, because all my FXHash projects are using the same palette. And yeah, it's what I wanted to do. Now I think I want to do both. I think I want to have a big project all the time I'm working on, and working on smaller projects more to experiment some technique, have fun. And yeah, I think I'm going to do both for now.
Yeah, that makes sense. And as you mentioned, I've also heard other artists say that when they submit to art blogs, it can take many months to get any feedback, for example. And nowadays, of course, there are many more platforms. And also wanted to talk a bit more about the 256 art platform in a bit. But you mentioned the color palette, and that's one thing I wanted to dig into a bit, because first of all, it's a really beautiful palette. I really love it. And it has many bright colors, like yellows, reds, some greens, cyan colors, or teal maybe. So how do you work with colors now compared to that period where you were using a single palette? Have you been adding more and more palettes as you go and then building up a library of palettes, or how do you work with color?
This has changed a lot during time. So yeah, at the beginning, I wanted to drop something on Ikeknook. I went to a palette website, tested some palette, and one worked, and I chose this one. Next time, I wanted to drop a loop on Ikeknook, same thing. And in fact, my favorite was always the same. So I selected the same one, and then the same one. And in fact, most of my work on Ikeknook using this palette. And when I wanted to try FXHash, same thing happened, and my favorite was still my favorite. So I started with this one, and yeah, and voluntarily this became a part of my identity, but is in fact at the beginning a very pragmatic choice to start. So yeah, it's something I changed on Foladora and Entricada drop. So yeah, on this project, I worked a lot on colors and try a lot of things. And I guess now I'm more focused on using colors of how to say that, realistic or existing work. So I try to look at very old works and try to imitate some color palette and find inspiration on that. So I'm doing a collaboration with a friend, Mathieu Segret, who is also the friend I founded Human Coder with, my company. And we are working on a watercolor project. We are very focused on existing work to find our palettes. And it's maybe easier for me to do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And as you mentioned, in true color, there's a clear kind of divergence from the previous palettes and a lot more diversity in the colors. So would you agree that even Arteria is the start of this, where there are a lot more single color outputs compared to before?
Yeah, but I guess most of the outputs still using the same palette, but I'm using the palette differently. So yeah, it was a bit the beginning of that.
Yeah, and these watercolor works in progress that you've shared on Twitter also are amazing. So excited to see how that shapes up to be. That also leads me to another thing about your work. There's a lot of animation involved. It's unfair to call it a loading animation. It's more like the art is created as part of the animation. Would you say this is a choice you've made that you want to use animation, or was it more something that kind of just happened? How do you think about animation?
Most of my works have been done with P5, which is a JavaScript library used by generative artists. But it's using the 2D API of browsers, and it's very slow. And it's something like Windows Paint, but with JavaScript. So what you can draw is very basic. So you can only draw circles, rectangles, etc. So the way to add complexity is most of the time to draw a lot of shape. But because it's slow, you can't draw a lot of shape one shot. So yeah, you have two options. But one option is just make the person wait some second for the piece to wander. Or I wanted to make this wander nice and be part of the art. So yeah, I wanted to create a very complex shape, but I wanted also the building was nice to watch too. So that's why I did that. So an entire take like 30 seconds to render, and I did my best to make this wonder interesting to watch. And I think it's also interesting to understand better how the artwork is made. And I did the same thing on my latest work.
And I would argue that the animation is so beautiful for Arteria and so mesmerizing to watch. So that really elevates the entire piece. And I've also focused on digging into various kinds of animated works. This one really stands out in the way it uses the animation to build up from literally from nothing. And then it builds these fantastic patterns. So I was curious if you could describe for us what's going on in Arteria and in Tricada, because it seems to me at least that these are using some common principles, both of those projects, with these agents that draw, right?
Yes, exactly. Thank you very much. Yeah, they both use the same algorithm based on autonomous agents. In fact, I remembered a little project I did in Germany School. We simulate some rabbits, which are just circles, but it was fun to watch. And I wanted to do something like that. I imagine a lot of small shape moving using very simple rules, and I was surprised even for myself to watch what it would become. So yeah, I started with that. I wanted to make something grow. So on Arteria, I'm drawing just a few agents at the beginning, like 3, 4, something like that. They move and they draw circles each time they move. Sometimes they have children, so a new agent starts on the side. They die when they meet another agent. Yeah, and there are some rules on how they move and how they grow. But yeah, that's very basic. And it's very fun to see how some basic rules can make very complex shape at the end. And it's what I wanted to explore.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And also, we pinned a couple of tweets there showcasing some examples. And how much do you control the end shape with code, and how much is a surprise?
The less as I can. I wanted to maximize the surprise I can have, but of course minimize the bad surprise. It was a big compromise, but yeah, I think I tried to do something quite open. We can talk maybe of emergence. And yeah, it was very fun to do that. And it's very stressful because during the drop, I am very excited to watch all the results because it can be something very surprising for me also. But yeah, that's the game. And I like this idea to have very different and unique pieces. So yeah, people seem to like that. So it's very nice.
Yeah, there are only good outputs in these collections, as far as I can see. So that's great. And also, before we talk a bit more about Intricata, you have this other project, which is some of the more recent ones on FXHash about a year ago, called Bridge. I want to hear a bit more about Bridge, because it's a very special project. It's a huge collab. So how did you make Bridge, and what was the process like?
Yeah, I wanted to do a collaborative piece, because at the beginning of FXHash, I saw a lot of artists working alone, and I'm an entrepreneur, and I like to work in a team and collaborate and create with other people. So I worked on a collaboration before Allo officially collaboration, include that in the contract. So I did the primary sharing manually. So yeah, I want this project very inclusive. So I push a very simple project on GitHub, invite everyone to participate. So I didn't control who was in or not. I just asked artists to draw what they want, but they have to draw all the tiles of the imaginary bridge I give them, and that was the only rules. So if you switch of style, you see all the time the same tiles at the same place. Yeah, that was the only rules, and the other rules was you have to walk, and that's it. So it was very improvised. So I put a very short deadline, and even with that, we was 25 guest artists to participate, which wasn't expected. My brain, I told me maybe we'll be three or four, and it will be fun. Yeah, no, it wasn't that. It was very huge, and I think it's still the biggest collaboration on FXHash, if I'm not wrong. And yeah, it was very fun, very collaborative. A lot of artists helped. There are famous artists inside, and for some of them, it was the first artwork on FXHash, like Julien Labar, who did after that some drop on FXHash, then 256 art, but it was his first art as an NFT on FXHash. And yeah, it was a very interesting experience, and I'm still chatting with a lot of artists of this group, so yeah. I'm thinking how to do that again differently.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's the biggest collab on FXHash to date. And doing this even before they added official support on the platform for this collab contracts, that's impressive. And the outputs have this kind of united motif, even though the styles are very different. So encourage everyone to take a look and at all the different styles, but still the same motif. So that's really cool. Over to you, Casper.
Yeah, hi, Camille.
Hi.
Very beautiful Intricata collection. Really impressed by the palette and the animations especially. It reminds me of a collection called Reina Sita Art Blocks. And I was just wondering, in your process of creating all these, or rather the code for the gen art, how would you play with the tension of having too much diversity in the output versus having a single identifying look for your entire collection? Like, I'm looking at the pieces right now. It's really amazing how it's all pretty much from the same code and it produces such diverse outputs. Do you ever worry about people not identifying with a collection because the outputs are too different?
Yeah, it's a very important question. Do you want to have similar pieces? And it's very common and not very surprising, but you can't have a bad accident. And at the opposite, you can see some connection with a lot of diversity, and sometimes it's even hard to know if a piece is in the collection or not. I try to add diversity, but keeping some very strong common points. So they all bid with the same algorithm, same concept. They are still the same animation as the beginning. They are all made of small points with autonomous agents. You can find some common points in palette. So yeah, the more I open some parameters, the more I close some other one to have common points shared between all the pieces of the collection.
Okay, thanks for sharing. I can definitely see a common identifying theme, like you've mentioned, but I'm just wondering how much of it does it stress you that sometimes it doesn't look too identifying. But thanks for sharing your perspective. Actually, my other question was, the animations look really smooth on my mobile phone, even though my mobile phone is almost 3 years old. Did you have to do any optimization to make the animation so fluid and smooth on a mobile phone, or it just happened by accident? I'm referring to this because the art block collection that I mentioned, Reina Sita, it doesn't load very well on a mobile because of the sheer computing power needed to render it.
Okay. I don't know this collection. I will have a look after, but what I'm doing on Intricata and Artaria is not very CPU consuming. Thanks to the animation, each frame I'm drawing like some hundreds of points, which is not very CPU consuming. Each frame, I just add some points and that's it. So it's not really hard to do that. I don't draw everything for the beginning all the time. So yeah, it's quite efficient. And that's why it's working on your mobile easy.
I see. Okay, that's great. Because it looks really beautiful, the animations. I love it. Thanks.
Great. And June?
Yeah, thank you. So I would like you to explain a bit more about autonomous agents that you mentioned as the underlying concept of several of your projects, Intricata and Artaria. And if I look at your FX hash site, I'll see also your project Circular Murmurations, which refers to the natural flocking behavior of birds, actually. So was this the start when you started to explore this concept? Or maybe let's define what autonomous agent actually means. Maybe you can explain this to our audience.
Yeah, I'm not using autonomous agent. The idea of agent, in my case, something that draw points each time it moves. And the agent moves following very simple rules, like just go straight forward if there is nothing else. They have children time to times, and they die if they meet the path of another agent. And that's the main rules I'm using on both of projects. Sometimes I can add something like, okay, on that part, if you meet some condition, you are going to move in a circular way. If you are not a parent, you are going to be smaller than the other one. But it's the main idea and the rules are quite simple. It was very fun to see how simple rules can generate complex shape, a bit like a fractal, so something like fractal or something like that.
So how does autonomous agents refer to the concept of emergence? Is this all part of the same concept that something complex can be created out of a simple system?
Yeah, it's the main idea of emergence. And if you are interested by that, you can read a wonderful post of Amy Goodchild on his blog. She explained very well and quotes some very interesting project about emergence. And it's very interesting to read. So yeah, you can watch this one if you want. The blog post will explain that much better as I can.
All right. Thank you.
I think a follow-up question to this is, how do you think about kind of your role as artists and doing generative art compared to thinking back to being an artist with Procreate, where you have a more direct control over the output? Do you think of it as co-creating with the algorithm or system, or what's your take on the autonomy here?
It was hard for me to say I'm an artist for a long time. After chatting, I've been on SuperArt Space thanks to a woman who is the CEO of Auction in France. And she told me something very simple. Kelly, you're producing art, so you are an artist. Point. That helped me a lot. But yeah, it wasn't easy. So I guess producing code that produces art was an easy way for me to enter the art space, up to producing art directly, probably, because I hide myself behind the code and random add something too. So it's not 100% me that produce these pieces. It's my code plus random. And I like that. Yeah, it's very interesting to think my work like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I love that definition as well. Like, you make art, so you're an artist. Cuts out a lot of the doubt. And I also noticed that in your process, you're also sharing a lot on Twitter and asking for feedback. And I assume also incorporating that feedback. So how important is this feedback for you in your process, would you say?
It's really important. I come from entrepreneurship and more focused on a technical name, Lean Startup. And the idea is to be very efficient and test a lot. So as an entrepreneur, I'm used to think, okay, I have an idea, but I'm not sure about it. How can I test it the more efficient way and the less expensive way? I'm very focused on pragmatism. And when I came to art, I did the same. but it's not very usual. So maybe more now, but when I started, it was quite common for artists to do their work and publish it, and that's it. They are artists, so they do what they want. And it was quite surprising for people to see me ask a lot of questions to take some very important decision of my work at my place on my behalf. So yeah, it was very important, and still I can quote an example on Foraldura, my project on 256 Art. I wasn't very happy at the beginning because it was quite similar to commemorations and I wanted to change. And Matt Perkins, the artist you had the week before, told me, okay, try something maybe, replace point with lines and show me what it looked like. And he changed everything. It was much better look like fur. I love the aspect. Yeah, he changed everything in the project. So thank you, Matt, for this idea. This happened a lot of time. So yeah, I like that very much. And I like the ideas collectors and followers can be involved in my work and they have much better ideas than me. So that's cool.
That's great. Yeah, that's such a good example as well, because this fur aspect of Foraldura is really key to that project. It looks so natural and yeah, furry for a better word. So love that. And also wanted to hear, have you noticed any difference in the kind of amount and quality of feedback that you get over time? I'm specifically thinking about the fact that you have been creating through both bull and bear markets, and we at least noticed that there are fewer people around these days compared to before.
I think since the very beginning, I always listen people saying to me, that's sad. If you started 3 months before, you could have a lot more visibility or anything. And yeah, I'm hearing that for more than 1 year, so I'm used to hear that. But I can't change anything about that, so I do my work and do the best with the present market and try to deal with it. It's probably why I'm more focused on maybe more complex project today, because it wasn't very comfortable to release a project every week like I did at the beginning, maybe less than a week for the first project, but it was just experimenting. And yeah, it's very hard to be in such a chaotic market, but yeah, we can control it. We can see every day very nice project with a very nice success, so we can hope to a visibility and working project. Yeah, I just released Entricada with Bright Moment, and it was, from my opinion, a very good success. So we can do nice things even with this market.
Yeah, that's true. We don't control this, so we have to just work through it anyway. And I wanted to hear more about the Bright Moments experience, because this was a live mint primarily, and you managed to mint, the collection is 270 pieces, right? So that's a big success with a lot of different mints. So how was it to work with Bright Moments?
Yeah, it was very different than my previous project. Yeah, firstly, as you said, it's ERL minting, so people, collectors have to be in Bright Moment galleries to mint Intricata. It was an open edition, so anyone could mint Intricata during all the months of March. It was my first open edition, and it's not usual in generative art to see open edition. Yeah, it was very nice. The team is quite huge and very kind, so it was very comfortable as artists to work with them. They did a lot of work in marketing, communication, etc., so it was very nice. I can mention the evening in New York City in the Loom Studio. You can watch a picture on my Twitter. And they did an incredible event in that place. Intricata was displayed with projector on all the walls of the room. And yeah, the picture are absolutely amazing and collect all of that. It was a very good experience. The market is not easy at the moment. For example, if you watch the last artwork present, a lot of projects are not sold out, and that's sad. And I'm very happy to finish this month with 270 pieces, which is more than expected and really amazing. So it was very nice.
Absolutely. And the pictures also look great. Must have been such an experience to be in the room when people are minting pieces. And did you also interact with the people minting, and what did they wonder about the piece?
Yeah, it's a very strong community, and a lot of collectors send me a DM before minting my work. And yeah, the one who was in New York told me it was very special because he mints the project and see the piece on a big screen, and a little after all the pieces minted was on the wall. So it was very impressive. impressive to see the piece you bought on an iPad on a really huge wall just after. So you can watch all the details at the point I can't imagine someone will do. So yeah, it was really amazing to see that.
Yeah, that's also amazing. And also curious, for your next collection is going to be the Colambrit, right?
Yes.
Have you decided on where to drop it? And how do you think about selecting platforms in general?
The project we didn't decide yet. We have a plan, but we didn't send email yet. This project is very different before. It's a long collaboration. We started to work on it in July. It took a really huge time to have a realistic aspect for the watercolor texture. The first time, it's a project using shader. So we had to learn shader during the project. And this allows us to add much more details than we can do with P5. And we can even animate the building of the watercolor. Contrary to Arteria, it's absolutely not necessary. So we recalculate everything, each frame, and it's okay because it's shader and it's fast. So yeah, it's a very important project for us, and we'll try to drop it on a big platform, and we'll try to do our best to do that. But yeah, I don't have any information for now. We are close to the end, so we hope to send emails in the next weeks.
Oh, exciting. So, and the shaders, that's the technique to use the GPU to render, right?
Yeah, for people who are not in computer science, yeah, most of the artists are using JavaScript to generate their piece, and it's quite comfortable to write, but quite slow. It's a very strong summary, but we can say that. And shader are less easy to write, but really much faster, and it's using GPU instead of CPU. Yeah, it's really game changer for us because I come from math and computer science, so I'm not afraid of writing big math to create art, and I'm really comfortable to use shaders. Yeah, I think most of my next work will be in 100% shader to have fun with that. I have to thank Peter Pasma because I learned a lot thanks to him. So yeah, he's in the loop.
Yeah, I love that. Yes, the shaders have been a big topic in generative art, I feel, the last months, and more people are diving in. So that's great. So before we leave the topic of platforms entirely, you mentioned how Bright Moments have been doing marketing, promotion, and kind of preparing a lot around the drop. How important will it be for you going forward that you have a platform every time that takes that part of the job?
Oh, yeah. It's really hard to choose a platform. On my side, yeah, I think it's quite comfortable not to be on FXH for now because platform kind of protects you. I haven't dropped a project for a long time before Intricada, like more than 6 months. And I have to say, I was a little bit afraid to drop on FXH and see my work not collected. And it was very comfortable to drop it in an open edition so it can fail, because at the worst case is there are very few editions, but people who are being this edition are happy and that's okay. And it's a small edition, long form, and that's it. Yeah, moreover, the platform have long time collector with them, community, etc. So it helps a lot to stand out, and they are involved with you, so they can help you to sell the project, do nice video, etc. So yeah, I find that quite comfortable. But the cons of that is it takes a lot of time because you have to chat with platform, have a deal, be selected, of course, because some platform can reject the project, of course. It's very long, so it's not adapted if you want to drop a project every month. So yeah, I think I will do both in the future. So drop like more simple project on open platform like FXH, and sometime work on a big project and drop on curated platform like Vermont.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you're right about FXH. It's certainly a tough time right now. And we see artists holding projects back and not releasing them and waiting for a bit better market conditions. So certainly something to take into account.
We are the, moreover, we can see a lot of new platform today. So we switch from a market with very few platform. Like when I started, it was Artblock or nothing. Then FXH changed everything. Then we saw some platform appear. Now it's hard even for an artist doing that every day to name all the generative art platform existing today. And I'm sure there will be new one the next week and or the next month. So yeah, it's really amazing to see the ecosystem changing a lot. I think it's very good because For example, the interface to drop Armlock project is not nice at all. It's quite complex to do, but it's probably because they didn't have a concurrent for a long time for technical reason. I don't know, but it's not very smooth, not so, as smooth as it's to drop a project on FXH, for example. Yeah, we can see some platform with new features like Ashwin's FX Params or Vers doing some very interesting kind of drop. And I think we'll see a lot of new features in the next months. So it's very good for the ecosystem. Probably most of this platform will die in a short time because I'm not sure all of them can exist, but it's a good thing for the ecosystem, and the ecosystem will be more interesting in some months.
Yeah, I fully agree. And that's also why I was so curious to dig into these questions about platforms and how you think about it, because as you point out, there's been so many new ones and a lot of innovation, especially with Verse, as you bring up. They've really brought a lot of new functionality, and in many ways, for example, bringing the other platforms to innovate as well. So that's really good to see. So yeah, we are about to wrap up. June, you have a question?
Yeah, thank you. So my question refers to the concept of diversity in a long-form project. And Intricata was initially like an open project. And I think totally like 270 pieces have been minted, which is amazing. How important do you think is diversity in general? Let's say if there have been like 1,000 pieces that have been minted, how similar were like the resulting pieces would be, and how important is this?
It's a really interesting question. I think when you start to have, I will say another thing. At the beginning, when I started like 1 year ago and before, everybody was talking about entropy and was focused on it. So yeah, the more entropy you have, probably the more success you will have, which is probably absolutely wrong, but it's what I heard all the time. We can see very successful projects with very few entropy, and that's absolutely okay. And more, it's very subjective, because random noise, which are very different, can look very similar. This doesn't look like entropy. So yeah, it's very hard to define objectively if there is entropy in a project or not. So now on Intricata, I wanted to open my algorithm the more as I could, and it was fun, but I'm not sure to do that all the time. I think I want to have surprise, because for me, but it's very just for me, it's part of the game. There is random is the algorithm, and the random is there to have surprise and to mix everything and analyze that. So I'm not sure to do a very project with very similar pieces in the future. But yeah, it's very subjective and hard to define. For example, on watercolor, there are a lot of random, and some pieces can look like similar if you watch them, but everything is different. So yeah, it's very hard to define. I try to have fun, and I love to play with random. It depends the generative artist, and yeah, there is random everywhere, and I try to do my best to create surprise and stay in a safe place, not to have too much bad accident with random, because you can have sometimes bad surprise. It's a dangerous game, but I love to play with that. So yeah, probably I will focus on pieces with quite a lot of diversity.
Yeah, thank you, Camille, for sharing your opinion on that.
You're welcome.
It's been so great to talking with you, Camille, and really been enjoying this conversation, and wanted to let you share where people can follow you and follow along with the work in progress.
Yes, thank you very much. Hope you could understand what I said with my strong French accent.
Absolutely. No problem.
Perfect. Yes, thank you very much for the invitation. As I said at the beginning, I love this podcast. I listened to your prose with Matt Perkins, and it was very interesting. And I discovered that we had quite a similar journey in the generative arts. It was fun to hear. So yes, thank you very much for this invitation, for doing this.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Thank you again, Camille. And thank you to my lovely co-hosts, June and Casper. Yeah, wish everyone a great Sunday.